Waddle and Sylvie. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
Patience in our world right now is hard. You know, it's patience in sports and patience with a quarterback is hard, you know. But sometimes I think, you know, a lot of things pay off if you're able to get through these tough times, you know. And again, there's a lot of examples of that. But we got to be better in a lot of areas, you know. I think if you look throughout our team, we were disappointed in a number of things. We got to figure out what it is. And that's what the next 4 to 5, when I talk about hard decisions in the next 4 to 5 months, that's us stepping back, letting the emotions subside. Okay, what's going on? What are the problems? What are the solutions? And how are we going to fix them? And we're all on board with that.
There's also a very fine line between patience and waiting a year too long. And we've talked about that with the Jacksonville Jaguars believing in Blake Bortles. And then look at then what happens when you believe in Blake Bortles and you bring him back, and then you fail, and then you start chasing, and then you go, well, we need Nick Foles.
Yeah.
And then you give Nick Foles the big contract because you were wrong about Blake Bortles, and now you have all that money committed to Nick Foles. And where are you then?
No, I mean, it's a tough situation, but this is why you get paid handsomely, and there's only 32 of these jobs, and you have to execute these decisions in a timely and successful manner. Because there is a... Look, you don't want to just give up on people, just player X after 1 year, or even 2 years, because things change. Now, by the same token, you don't want to continue to bang your head against the wall and just have a ton of false hope that things are going to reverse pivot and go in the opposite direction 100 miles an hour.
Right.
So, I'll give you an example. Like, Adam Shaheen, if you're waiting around for Adam Shaheen to fit this offense, I think you're going to be waiting too long. That's a decision that I think that they will make when the time is right. They'll move away from him.
They did that with Kevin White.
Correct. Now, maybe you could argue that they waited too long. You know, I mean, when they make that decision, again, is the $64,000 question. When is the right time to make that decision? You know, it's a difficult balance between giving patience to a situation and allowing it to bake a little bit and to develop and to come along with, hey, look, this just isn't going to work.
See, yet. I think you don't have to give up and you can just hedge. Like, I'm not saying cut Mitch Trubisky. I'm not saying trade Mitch Trubisky. I'm not saying make Mitch Trubisky the backup. All I want him to do is earn the starting role. That's it. That we've been patient enough through 3 years that he should be able to be tested in training camp, and we could say, to the winner goes the spoils. The winner will be our starting quarterback. Why are you scared of that? And I think you can have both then. You could still have Mitch. You're not giving up, and let him rise to the occasion.
You're not fully trying to develop him if, in fact, you're splitting reps and you're putting him in a competition. I'm just telling
you
what they're saying.
You said, though, to me, 41 games. What?
Well, but they have a different mentality than we do. They have not decided that. You know, they're accentuating the positive. They're talking about just needing to be more consistent. Now, are they going to do something that is different than what they're saying? That I don't know. But I have never felt differently about this situation.
Right.
They are all in, invested in him.
He is.
Yeah, that Ryan is. I would love to hit Matt with the Waddle and Sylvie truth serum and get his honest thoughts.
And then, like, you know, Chase, too. Look, Chase has a sterling reputation as a guy who could come in and win you a game and a guy who will always have the back of the starting quarterback.
Sure.
He's not threatened, even
he's
though
great
he's
a teammate.
Great teammate. And that's why he's never going to break bad on what
not.
Happened. And now he could play for another 10 years in this league.
Of course.
You know, another 5 years, just be the backup. Be a real, like, look at what
Josh McCown is
done.
In his 17th season.
Think about that.
That job pays handsomely, too.
And what did Josh, when Josh established himself in that 2013 year, not only was he good, but then when it was time for Cutler to come back, and even though he played great, he didn't rock the boat.
No.
Josh was like, hey, my turn to sit. I'm going to be Jay's sounding board.
Listen,
and look, he's played a decade since, or whatever it's been, 6-7 years since.
And now he's a backup on a playoff team where he gets to fly home on Thursday's coach's football team and come back during game week.
Right.
I'm going to say this, and this is probably, I have no way to define it. I don't know there's a better guy in the league than Josh McCown.
You could be right. See, now you've been hit with that. Now we need to do a parody song with you.
I'm not
Joshy football,
well,
baby.
I'm not talking about him in the Joe Montana, you know, manner in terms of his playing capability. I'm just talking to you as a guy, and a guy willing to sit down and talk ball with you.
Right.
There is no better guy than Josh McCown.
They could, him and Chase can do a backup quarterback theme show, like the podcast called The Backups, you know, where they just talk ball. Orlovsky could be in that too.
Chase broke down the wild card games better than most people who do this for a living did in a matter of a few moments.
Waddle, that's why, like, the stars often aren't coaches, because they can't explain things to the layman. Everything came too naturally to stars. Like, people always say, well, if you weren't good in the game, then you wouldn't make, like, it's the opposite. Like, that's why many of the managers in baseball were guys who weren't the best players, because they know every player on the roster. They've been there before. They could explain things. Michael Jordan can't explain.
He can only see basketball through his own eyes, which are the eyes of the person who's been the best in the world and who's ever done it.
Right. Magic Johnson, same thing. 312-332-3776. I'll play you Orlovsky here coming up, too, on why the Bears should not draft a quarterback, at least early. We'll play that. Mike's in Lombard. You're on Waddle and Sylvie. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It was fun watching you play, Tom.
Thank you.
My 21-year-old's a New England fan, so I'll root for them as far as they go. How that happened with him being a New England fan, I don't know. But anyway, here's the deal on the Bears. I'll make a quick comment. I just listened to Chase Daniels talk. And I don't agree with the 20 play deal. And last year, Tom, I think you said, you know, everything was going their way. I don't agree with that either. I think, is my opinion, I've watched every game the last 2 years. Trubisky, when he's allowed to be Trubisky, and I'm not saying running like Lamar Jackson, but that's his game. And it seems he's more confident passing. He doesn't have to worry about the pocket and people coming from all over. When you see this year, the games he ran, like Dallas, he was good. And the games, for some reason, Nagy has him in the pocket. And in the press conference, I think we heard it, when he said he wants Mitch in the off season to be the best, to learn the best, how did he word it? You guys probably know. Reading defense.
Right. Coverages.
I think he means in the pocket. And he's not a pocket guy. So if they want a pocket passer, go get Phillip Rivers.
Well, but here's the difference, Mike. And Steve Young told us this, so don't rely on my words. Steve Young told us that as much as Bill Walsh loved what Steve could do athletically, Bill Walsh told him, you're not going to be a champion until you can actually function at a high level from inside the pocket. Now, doesn't mean that getting out on the edge can't be a large part of what you do. Go back and look at what Lamar Jackson has done this year. He's been the most dynamic, exciting player in the league this season. But if I'm not mistaken, he leads the league not just in touchdown passes, but touchdown passes from the pocket. So Lamar's not only been good when he's been on the edge. Lamar's been very good wherever he is on the field, including between his own two tackles. So you're right, Mike, that Mitch is most comfortable when he gets on the edge, but the other guys get paid, too. And there are good defensive coordinators and there are good defenses out there that will ultimately take that away from you. I'll go back another thing, too, is one thing that Chase mentioned.
Are you talking about the coverages that fooled the Bears?
Well, the inside of that. But what Chase said to us a number of times is they didn't run the ball well enough. And remember, again, that this position is the most dependent position in all of sports. And if you're not elite, like Aaron Rodgers, he's better this year in terms of, well, statistically he's not, but he's better off as a player when he's got a running game. His offensive weapons on the edge are not nearly as good as they've been in the past. But Aaron Jones is a beast of a player and makes Aaron Rodgers' life easier. You look at a lot of these quarterbacks who have the luxury of a running game, it makes life easier on you. But the elite guys are the only ones that can get away with playing at a high level without getting that help in a dependable situation. When Chase says, look, it really went south when we failed to be able to establish the run, that really affected this Bears team. And to your point about the coverages, when you see teams playing too high safeties like that, cover two, You have to run the ball. Think about it.
Well, were you surprised that Chase said that they were not expecting it and they did not know how? He mentioned the Packers opening game and then out of the bye about the Raiders game. They didn't have an answer for it.
Yeah, that's...
How could you not have an answer for it?
Well, the answer is you've got to... The answer is when you see that happen, you have to run the ball.
Well, he gave up on running the ball three plays into the Saints game.
That's why I asked Chase about, you know, the inexperience of a young head coach and learning from some of the mistakes that he made. Think about it just like in basic football sense. Like if I got two safeties, right? I got one single high. I got another one sitting in the tackle box to support the run. Well, what if you take that safety out, you put him on the hash, and your free safety's on the hash? Now you've got four guys. You've got a seven-man box. You don't have an eight-man box. You are less likely to be able to support the run because two of your guys are in the middle of the field and your cornerbacks are out on the sidelines. So what do you have to do? When you see cover two, you have to be able to run the football. And they were never able to run the football to take the pressure off of Mitch.
Jim's in Romeoville. Jimmy, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Yeah, the 20-play thing. Tommy, you played. Did the coaches do that at the end of the year in the postseason evaluation saying, hey, these 20 plays were the difference?
I don't think we did that. I mean, Wani was infamous. Sylvie always does his Wani, you know, imitation.
I covered those teams. Like, Edgar Bennett would rush for 178 yards, but he'd have, like, two carries of 80 and, like,
66 yards, yeah.
But then the other 15 carries, he averaged, like, 2.2 yards per carry. And he'd say, oh, if it wasn't for those two runs, we really kept Edgar Bennett in control. Well, Wani, you gave up an 80-some-yard touchdown and a 68-yard touchdown.
Those count.
Yes.
Yeah, but, Tommy, did you guys as players believe that?
I think you can look back on a season where maybe you were 11-5 or you missed the playoffs, and maybe that's when. But when you're 8-8, and really it kind of felt like a soft 8-8, didn't it, to you? Did it feel like a soft 8-8?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, but again,
then
like,
you go back and say, I mean, it was more than a handful of plays. And again, as I highlighted the throw because it's most fresh in my memory, the overthrow of Allen Robinson in the Chiefs game, if that's one of your plays, you can point to a number of those plays, and those plays were missed last year the same way they were missed the year before. So why am I to believe that going into 2020 that those completions are going to be hit?
Yourself feel better. Right. It's like a security blanket. Oh, if it wasn't for this play and that play. But think about the plays that the other teams didn't make.
Right.
You know, too. I mean, it goes both ways.
It's a dangerous path to kind of convince yourself.
You are not honestly self-scouting if you believe at the end of the day, and I think Chase is just
I agree
he's covering for everyone and he's putting lipstick on the whole thing, but
I agree with that, but what I care about
is Matt Nagy better not believe that after he self-scouts himself.
I think Chase was being a good teammate when he said, look,
he's
selling
out his coach.
That's right. But when you rank, when you average 297 yards and 17.5 points per game, which ranks 29th and 29th, it's more than just 20 plays. It is. I mean, there's a bigger problem. And Chase talked about that early on in the interview and really highlighted on their inability to run the football. And I'm with you. I'm with what he said. When you don't have an elite quarterback, you have to help that guy with a running game, and they had none this year.
Cap always talks to Dan Orlovsky. I believe that happens on Tuesdays, guys. Is that right?
Yes.
And he had him on this week. This was from a couple of days ago.
It was yesterday because of the
Chase
New Year.
May be the next Dan Orlovsky when he decides to go to ESPN.
Yeah. And Dan was talking about... he's asked the question because a lot of people believe that you should take one of the 2 second-round picks and use it on a quarterback. Draft a lineman, draft a quarterback. And Dan was asked that by Cap. Should the Bears draft a quarterback in the second round? Here's Orlovsky's answer.
I wouldn't do it this year, Cap. Like, if you're doing that, it's probably a guy, you just use the phrase, I'd take a shot at him, right? Like, I don't know. If taking a shot at a quarterback right now is worthy of it. Maybe in the 5th round, if there's a guy that you like that was talented, that's a type of project, because Mitchell is still a project in his development. And I wouldn't take a flyer on a quarterback unless it's a guy that you upgraded in the 1st round and all of a sudden he plummets for some reason. But I don't think it's worthy of taking a guy in a 2nd round. Then you're you're opening yourself up to a potential problem. Because, like, if Mitchell Trubisky goes out and struggles week one, and again, trying to make sure that this, there's a difference between babying a guy and supporting a guy. And I think that they need to continue to support him, challenge him, but support him. And I would see them using that second round pick with the addition of helping him rather than bringing in a flyer on a quarterback that potentially could be good if Mitchell struggles, but you don't know if he's really good because he could be a project.
Is there a veteran guy out there that you would say, you know what, I bring that guy in as my backup? Would you, much like Tennessee did with Ryan Tannehill, there's going to be some guys out there, whether it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, whether it's Case Keenum. I don't know who's going to be available in the trade market. Is there a veteran you'd bring in?
100%. Now, it's all dependent on how much it's going to cost you. You know, like Chase was obviously an important part. But I don't know Chase well enough to know, has Chase taken the step to becoming a really impactful backup when it comes to the coaching of the quarterback position? You know, I think that's such a valuable part. And sometimes you see it in the NFL and it hits and it works really well. Josh McCown with Carson Wentz right now. I thought that Drew Stanton, a good friend of mine, would have a greater impact on a Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. But if there's a veteran out there that you go, okay, yes, he could play, and but like the more investments that you can make into Mitchell Trubisky, I think the better the move. And not necessarily looking at a player saying, oh, that guy's going to start 12 games for us and throw 30 touchdowns, as much as it is, all right, this backup's a good player, but he's a better coach. He can explain things better than he can actually do them. That's what I would be looking for more. And then the guy going, uh-oh, if we start, you know, 0-2, who's going to save our season?
I think what Dan was getting at, though, is that he believes as well that the Bears are fully invested in Mitch. So what you need is to bring in somebody that can help him along. Get the Bears.
And he said he didn't know Chase. That is what Chase did great. I think you have to be in the opposite mode that he said. He still wants a supportive backup. I think you need that in case of emergency break glass guy where they could be good. There's no guarantee because the pile in which you're picking from is not the best pile. It's the clearance rack. But you're going to have to do a guy who had a high ceiling in the past. I just want that rather than a supportive guy because he gave you an example of Baker Mayfield of – It didn't matter that Drew Stanton was there.
No.
And Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate before Josh McCown was his backup. Like, is it really because Joshie's there?
No. I don't think that's the case. To go back to his issue in drafting as well. Look, if Tua's declares for the draft and somehow finds his way into the second round, you draft.
Or you may have to trade your two picks and trade up into the first round and get him at the back of the first.
Well, whatever the case may be, but if you get to the second round and you don't have second round grades on a quarterback, you don't reach for that guy because you're uneasy about your quarterback situation because you have other needs.
Right.
You can use those second round picks on offensive linemen, a tight end, another position where you also need help at. So I'm not saying, listen, if you get, I don't know what pick they have. What's their first pick? I mean, they're in the second round.
43. Yeah. 43.
Okay, so you get the 43 and the number one rated player on their board is a quarterback taking. But if he's not, you don't reach for
it. What if it's closed? You take the quarterback, don't you? Unless it's like a left tackle that you have graded, and that's a huge need. But quarterback is, if it's close, I mean, what I don't want happening is what he said with the sixth round stuff or the fifth round stuff. That's what Jerry Angelo used to do. They would draft David Fales. Who was the other guy? There was another guy from like Central Michigan or something like that, a second guy who they never, at best, they could have been a backup. Like, I want a guy who could be lightning in the bottle if you develop him right. I want a high ceiling guy.
I don't blame you in the fifth or sixth round. I know your point. Your point is, look, we've lived in this town for 40, almost 50 years, and you haven't had that franchise quarterback who has been able to stay healthy and consistently play at a high level. I get it. I'm with you. I want that guy as well. But for the here and now, what you need to find with your window open for winning with your defense the way it is, you got to find somebody that if Mitch goes south quick next year, you can win with.
Right. I want both. I mean, carry the veteran, carry the rookie.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. My guess is they're not going to have somebody who would be perceived as being legitimate competition. Why do they? If they purely believe in Mitch, I mean, truly, in their heart of hearts up there, if Ryan believes in Mitch, and he's convinced Matt to believe in Mitch, I'm just speculating, and he feels that way, you don't want to do anything but focus on getting Mitch as much experience. There's no competition. They're trying to develop Mitch, which means you can't develop him while he's splitting reps with the first team with somebody that's coming in to compete with him.
Someone brought up Seattle, someone on the radio station before. You invest in Matt Flynn, all that money. You draft Russell Wilson, and you start him right away because you recognize that he's better. Like, you were on the team. I'll go to Wani. Give Wani some credit here. I think it was your last year with the Bears. You guys bring in, you had the show for him. You chaperoned Eric Kramer on his free agent visit. They really wanted Eric Kramer from Detroit. When he played, he was good. He won a playoff game, I believe. What happened in training camp?
I forget.
Well, Steve Walsh was your guy. And you guys made the playoffs and you won a playoff game with Steve Walsh.
Did Eric get hurt?
Eric just wasn't good then. And then in 95, he was ready to take over.
I got it.
And he rewrote the record book.
Listen, they have staked their... I know you understand this, how much they've invested in Mitch. And I'm just telling you,
I hate that philosophy in general.
I know you do. I know
you do. My team or any other team, why are you blinded because it's your pick if it's not the right move? And I think GMs need to be better at that.
Yeah, but if they believe in their heart, it's your evaluation leads you to say, don't fall in love with him. Their evaluation, as skewed as you may think it is this is our guy. So if that's their evaluation and they're running the team, why would they bring in somebody to compete with a guy they're all in on just because you don't like him?
You're right, Waddle, but that completely calls into question their ability to then.
Of course it does.
And look, it's not even, it's one thing when we talk about college prospects who we've only seen a few games here and there, because we're not breaking down the tape like a lot of people up at House.
How do you know what I'm doing with my
We've got three
time.
Full seasons of Mitch Trubisky on tape that we've all watched ad nauseum. We can tell it's not as good as they're trying to sell us.
Listen, I sat here yesterday and read you stats trying to tell you this is who I think he is, not who you're telling me he is. I'm just telling you that in their heart, they believe in him.
You just keep telling us from Ryan Pace's perspective.
Yes.
Mitch is our starter.
Yes, that's all you need to know.
We got Waddle's World coming up. 312.
Talk about some poop.
332-3776.
Mitch is our starter.
There's some good baseball stuff later in the show, too. Not good with the Bulls and Hawks last night. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him. And he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from
that. Damn right.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
Right, John. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They're Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/finest. Member FDIC.
Abdallah just tweeted out from the ESPN 1000 Twitter account, you doing the interview. It's just a still picture after your what?
No, go ahead. I didn't realize.
Of your punt return.
An interview?
Yes, you talk about.
You really don't remember anything, do you?
You talk about a stud right there. Look at that guy out of BC.
Dreamy eyes.
Look at that guy.
76-yard punt return for a touchdown.
I mean, you look pretty in that picture.
Excuse me?
I mean, like, doesn't he?
You look like a pretty man there, yes.
Yes, and like I've never viewed you as a pretty man.
What is this, before somebody put a fire out on my face with a fork? Ooh. Is that what you're saying?
Hair gel thick, dripping in Dracar Noir.
That is nice use of the eyeliner there, Tom.
Yeah, you do look like you have makeup on.
Do I look like I have a little makeup on?
That's what it looks like.
By the way, at one point I also had a gold chain with a football on it.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I swear to you, I did. My wife still has it in the turnover chain. It had a football on it.
That's great.
Yeah, back in the, I'm talking.
You were
early 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
You had the turnover chain.
I think my wife bought me an 87 one year, or maybe there was a jewelry store that gave me an 87 at one time. I never wore that.
You never won the 87.
I did wear it.
Ripping.
I believe if you Google the picture of Harbaugh and me. When we did the Bigsby and Crothers photo shoot,
yeah,
I'm in shoulder pads and nothing else. I had pants on, but I mean shirt-wise.
Then that's something.
And Jim Harbaugh had this beautiful Bigsby and Crothers suit. And I believe you can see the gold chain with a football on it.
I got to Google that, see if it's on the net.
There you go.
And then thanks to our tweeters who reminded me, the guy I was thinking of that Jerry Angelo drafted in the sixth round was Dan Lefevre out of Central Michigan.
Yeah. Good call.
And as one listener pointed out, they were scouting Central Michigan, and they did not draft AB. They drafted Dan Lefevre.
Well done.
And so they drafted, I think it was Fales, Lefevre, and Ender. I don't know if Enderle was a pick. Wasn't Enderle a guy?
Nate Enderle.
Like, all these guys.
Time out. Was AB on that team?
Yes. I think that was the point.
Are you sure? Are you positive? Now, AB, was there some issues with AB?
Yes, of course. Okay. And boy, you follow his Instagram lately. I mean,
I don't follow him.
So bad.
But by the way, on a positive Bears note, they made Eddie Jackson the highest paid safety in the NFL today. Eddie getting a 4-year, $58.4 million extension, according to his agent. The deal, with an average annual value of $14.6 million, includes $33 million in total guarantees. So congratulations to Eddie Jackson, who has had a fantastic start to his NFL career.
He deserves that, right?
Yes. I think we had a nice conversation today about maybe this year was not as impressive as last year, but maybe Eddie Jackson is kind of the individual symbol for the Bears defense, where last year the Bears had 36 takeaways, and Eddie had a bunch of them. They were the most dynamic big play defense in the league last year, and Eddie was one of those guys that was making all those plays. And this year, while the turnovers went down, or the takeaways went down, and the defensive touchdowns went away, statistically it wasn't as eye-popping, but the defense was still number four in the league in scoring defense. So while Eddie may not have had all of those gaudy stats from last year, he, like the Bears defense, was still well above average and a very great player.
I'm actually surprised that George signed off on the contract because Eddie Jackson didn't score any touchdowns this year.
That's a good point.
That's good. That's getting traction, too. I still can't believe he ripped the defense when he got a Trubisky question. Really quick, Dan Lefevre, I'm reading the 2009 Central Michigan Chippewas football stats. Dan Lefevre that year threw for almost 3,500 yards, 28 touchdowns. 9 of his touchdowns went to Antonio Brown, who caught 1,200 yards that year. Also rushed for 341 yards in Central Michigan's offense. So as Jerry Angelo was scouting a Dan Lefevre, he took Lefevre and not AB. And instead we made Hester, the number one wide receiver.
Well, maybe Jerry would respond with, you know what? We did our background work, and we thought it was a high-risk pick, and we decided not to go there.
What about the other kid from Central Michigan who was the edge rusher who had a bad back?
Dan Bazine?
And Bazine. Why didn't he do his due diligence and know he had a bad back?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But what
good
about
question.
The Vanderbilt tackle with the bad back?
Chris Williams?
Yeah.
It's amazing that, like, some days I can't remember my kids' names. And then other days, like, I can just pull names
Chris
and
Williams,
stats.
Yeah.
Anyway, Cowboys have opted. This is so Cowboys. The Cowboys have opted to move on without Jason Garrett. That's how it's been phrased all day
today.
He's
at the train station, and they're just slowly pulling away. Yeah.
Settle down just a little bit.
That doesn't get old.
He doesn't have time to jack with you.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
We have not had a good spin on the Jerry Jones carousel.
Like, what were they doing? Were they just trying to find a spot
After
for him?
After showing what a source told Ed Werder was an abundance of care and respect for Garrett, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones and executive vice president Stephen Jones have decided the coach will not be part of the organization moving forward. We are firing
Jason Garrett.
I like your attitude. Come in.
What? I got some questions, Jerry. Will you answer some of my questions about?
Are you embarrassed?
A lot to go over. Now go on with your question.
Are you going to answer my questions? You're going to answer them the way that you want to answer.
I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning.
What, Jerry?
We're not playing very well.
Well, that's obvious. What was your first clue? Dick Tracy?
Settle down just a little bit.
Would you park the cop car, Dick Tracy?
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
This is our starter.
Anyway, the Cowboys are moving on without Jason.
Do you want the real explanation that I heard Ed Werger give today? Supposedly, Jason Garrett wanted a contract extension to start the year. And they said, no contract extension. And he said, okay, if I'm coaching for my job, I want to call the plays. And they said, no, you're getting, what's his face, the young offensive coordinator.
Kellen Moore. Look at me, I'm on fire today.
You're on fire. So
settle down just a little bit.
So in these meetings, supposedly, Jason Garrett said, I told you I should call the plays and Kellen Moore should not. And
so he threw Kellen Moore under the bus.
And he said, give me one more year with me calling the plays and it will work. That's supposedly.
And what did Jerry say?
I don't like your attitude, dude. Come in.
That's what he said.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
It's my favorite thing. Settle down in the.
Chase Young.
Settle down just a little bit.
All right. Chase Young has declared for the NFL draft. Christian McCaffrey, an all-pro at two positions.
See, that's not fair.
Well, Michael Thomas, Stephen Gilmore.
One of them's not even a position.
You know what I mean?
What is Christian McCaffrey all-pro at? Did you see the two positions?
No.
One is, I don't know if it's classified as running back or halfback because the all-pro team is made just to confuse you. The other is flex. What the hell? They play fantasy football for the all-pro team?
Yeah. Well, he deserves all-pro recognition at two positions. I don't know.
And he gets it for one. Congratulations. And TJ Watt,
plays
too.
Running back.
TJ Watt was another two-position guy.
TJ Watt was first-team all-pro for edge rusher, second-team all-pro for linebacker.
Well, it's all well and good and fuzzy and warm when it's Khalil Mack, your player, who's getting the honor on two positions.
I thought that was weird, too. By the way,
Khalil Mack was not a member of the all-pro team.
Yeah. I just make them one. I mean, come on now. You're going to go like a baseball player gets first team DH and first base. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get one spot and then another player gets the other spot.
That's exactly what you're doing is one less player gets an all-pro nominee.
Eagles running back Miles Sanders is set to play versus the Seahawks. Tight end Zach Ertz, offensive tackle Lane Johnson, both questionable. Boy, they have had some serious injury issues this year. I believe the Seahawks also very, very banged up.
Can I bring up something that a listener
Nelson
has?
Nelson Aguilar also ruled out of there.
He's always out. I mean, even when he's in, he's out. He's dropping passes.
Like Aguilar. Dropped the passes like Aguilar.
You remember that from the fire? Pat Boyle. P1.
I have not seen Good Time Patty Boyle in quite some time. A happy new year to Pat Boyle.
Happy new year.
I have a bottle of wine.
You have not been watching Hawks hockey.
Yes, you're right.
He's out here betting tons of pucks.
Seven goals last night, boys. What's up with that?
He bet seven pucks.
He bet 100 pucks on the over last night.
100 pucks on the over.
But this is a good suggestion, and I hope Joe and Tony are listening from Distinctive Gold Jewelry.
Yeah, an 87.
Because that should be the Waddle special in January or February.
Buy your wife a pendant that has the number 87 on it?
Or Joe and Tony should make a special collector's edition 87 that we could give away leading up to the Super Bowl. Even if it's just one, that we give away a replica Tom Waddle 87 leading up to the Super Bowl.
I like the idea of our listeners buying an 87 and giving it to their wives.
Hey, you know who we listen to on the way home every day from work?
This would be the Adam Shaheen Christmas gift.
It would be broken. It would be half an 8 and half a 7.
Ryan Pace would buy all of them.
Who are you wearing that for? Mohsin Mohammed.
In a replica Ryan Pace hanging on to the broken 7. No, don't tell me he's a bust yet.
Harry Kane has a torn hamstring.
How is your Harry Kane?
It's torn. My hamstring is torn. Harry Kane has a... Do you know who he plays for? Timeout. Don't tell him.
A Manchester City.
No. I'll give you one more guess, and then I'll give you all the money in my pocket.
Real Madrid.
Wrong. Okay, no more guesses.
Who does Harry Kane play? He's English, isn't he?
He plays for the Hotspurs.
Oh, yeah. Tottenham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know that.
Well, if you didn't know this. So you get no money. What else? Dylan Moses is planning to return to Alabama, but I heard that got all caught up. Roll Tide.
He's good now.
He's good.
It was caught up yesterday. Back on track today. Roll Tide.
I love how he gets
dominoes falling.
Whenever he talks about Alabama, he gets a southern accent.
So great.
Two is on a private jet getting a second opinion on the hip.
Who was? Dylan Moses?
No, Tua.
Oh. A Texas boy sets his front yard on fire after getting magnifying glass for Christmas.
Oh, wow. He was doing like the burning ants thing and then
he
set that.
Yeah, Christmas went up in flames for family in Texas after a 12-year-old boy decided to use a magnifying glass for something other than reading. You're not supposed to do that.
So, I mean,
do you know what kids used to do back in the day? They used to like burn ants with
magnifying glass. That's what I just said.
Oh, was you said ants? Did you say ants? I didn't hear that part.
I said, yeah. I mean, the stuff that we used to do, like, it was just, it was ridiculous. With bottle
rockets.
Did
you used to do the burning of the ants?
Well, I mean, we would try to set stuff on fire with a...
That explains a lot.
I never did that.
We didn't have the internet. All we had, we would go to the park and we'd play. We would play baseball, we'd play... basketball, we play hockey.
We try to light ants on fire.
And then we take a break, play kick the can, and we try to burn ants.
We shoot robins with BB guns.
Kids today, what they do is they go to YouTube and they watch other kids burn ants.
It's wrong. Man stole a bus, took a joyride through Surrey, and it didn't go well. Man has been arrested after allegedly stole a bus while the driver was taking a bathroom break in the British Columbia area. What are you doing?
They kept the bus running, though? I mean, were the keys in the ignition?
I think so. Yeah.
Guy had I feel like this is on the driver. Take the keys out of the ignition. Turn the bus off.
I think we can fine him or maybe give him a bit of a suspension for. But the guy who steals the bus and drives off, that's on him.
Well, yes, it's illegal, but still, the driver made it too easy.
He did. But let's not ignore the crime that was committed by the bus dealer. Okay?
It's like when I hear people getting their car stolen. It's like, well, I left my keys in the car and the car was running when I went into Starbucks.
That's not an invitation to steal my car.
Don't be dumb and leave your keys in your car with the running.
Don't steal my car.
Or under the mat.
Don't leave them under the mat either. Don't steal my car. You're an ass if you steal my car. I'm a trusting human being.
I am not saying that they are not an ass. Yes, it is an ass-like behavior.
But you're one of those guys. You're one of those guys who says you deserved it. You deserve to have your car stolen.
That's not true. I just said there's ways to protect against it. There's ways to protect against it.
Of course there is, but if for whatever reason you don't.
Turning your car off?
Okay, that's fine. That's a valid point. But if you steal my car because my keys are in my car, you're still an ass.
Ass.
And you're going to jail.
Jail.
What are you, a hype man now?
What do you mean?
We're just echoing you.
Oh, are you my hype man?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that what hype men do? They repeat things?
Yeah. It's a rap thing.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Did you know that?
Me and rap, yeah.
How the hell did you know that?
Going to see the post?
How did you know how to be a hype man?
You going to see the Post Malone anytime soon?
I'm still trying to get Post Malone tickets for my daughter. They're like $250.
I deny I ever called him the Post Malone because I know it's Post Malone. And if I did it, all it was just a stumble.
Just take the L.
No.
You called him the Post Malone.
I know Post Malone. He performed too on New Year's.
Okay, but you said this well before New Year's.
Oh, I know, but I've listened to Post Malone.
Are you pandering to the hip people in our audience?
I'm just telling you.
I don't listen to Post Malone.
You listen to country.
I do. Boy swallows AirPod, has to wait for it to pass.
What's an AirPod?
Would you still use it? What are the AirPods? Like the wireless headphones.
One of the...
Oh, okay.
AirPod. He swallowed it, and now you got to wait till, you know.
Ooh. Does it still work?
Would you use it?
Right. Are you still...
A Georgia boy was rushed to the emergency room after he swallowed an AirPod he got as a Christmas present. And the debacle is the gift that keeps on giving. The 7-year-old now has to wait for the wireless earbud to pass.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. Yes, I can.
It's something Braxton would do.
Yeah. He's probably at home eating AirPods right now. Just taunting you.
Dad, look. Yeah.
I'm going to eat this.
I'm going to cause you more
problems. And
then
I'm going to poop it out. And you're going to have to go through my poop. And then you're going to have to get the AirPod. And it's your AirPod.
Would you ever use that again?
And then because, Dad, I know how much you hate puke, I'm going to puke and make you clean it up.
It would be a good advertisement for Apple if that thing still worked. If if after all of that, the AirPod works.
I bet it does.
You
Why
think
wouldn't
so?
It work?
All the liquid stuff. I mean,
what liquid stuff? The acid in your system,
yeah.
Maybe? I bet it still works. Haven't you ever, like, have you ever pooped out something odd like that? You
no.
ate it as a kid?
Never? Nope. Never.
I'm trying to think if I did.
I swallowed it when I was a kid. I like you
Did
know
you swallow a coin?
No, a tooth. I lost a tooth. I lost a baby tooth and swallowed it.
Yeah,
and then I saw it.
See, there you go.
It made it through.
My dog. I told you, my dog used to poop $20 bills.
It was like going to Vegas.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, and they'll tell you at the Treasury. You know, people will tell you anything more than like what 60% of the bill is still usable.
Right.
So like. There was a 20 that looked like there was 57 or 58% still available with a little bit of dog poop on it. I think my wife, I think I retrieved it, cleaned it, and I think she took it to the bank and deposited it. I think so.
Nothing wrong with that.
A Russian artist rings in the new year with huge rat sculpture made of?
Rats.
Russian artist rings in the new year with huge rat sculpture made of?
It would Jeez. Be ironic if it was rats.
No. Giving you another guess.
Well, that's a good guess there, Mallard. Cheese, he said.
Nope. Rat poop. Happy poo year! The Russian artist has found an unorthodox way to celebrate the new year by erecting statues out of cow poop. So it wasn't rat poop, it was cow poop. Made a rat out of cow poop.
All right.
Yeah.
It's the year of the rat, by the way, if that's why he did it.
Is
it's
it
the year
really?
Of the rat. Yeah, yes. Chinese year of the rat.
January 5th is expected to be the busiest day of the year for online dating. Did you know that?
Why is that?
The swipe spike that occurs on the first Sunday in January is such a widespread phenomenon that Coffee Meets Bagel has dubbed it Dating Sunday. I did not know that.
Is it because people's New Year resolution is to try out online dating and then it's the first Sunday of the use? Why is that?
That's a really good question.
I think your logic is sound there.
I think we're going to do some Florida or Ohio, right?
That we
but
are.
But before, I want you to Google this on your Google machine before we go to break. Here's your headline from Sand Springs, Oklahoma. Sleeping man and goat carjacked, driven 130 miles before the suspect is arrested.
So the goat wasn't asleep. The man was asleep.
Sleeping man and goats carjacked, driven 130 miles before the suspect arrested.
There you go. All right. We'll do Florida or Ohio coming up next. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Florida, Ohio is brought to you by the Fields Auto Group. See Fields first for luxury cars, SUVs, and snacks. At FieldsAutoGroup.com.
Right?
I did say snacks. Let's start off the new year I think it's an easy one, but I got to read the whole thing because it's crazy. Naked man high on meth bites canine dog, assaults officer.
Oh, wow. Bit the dog and assaulted the officer.
Listen, that's Tampa crazy.
That's everything.
But when you say meth, I'm thinking like... Yeah.
Think long.
Somewhere
think
in
wrong.
Ohio.
No, think
the man
long.
Is facing several charges after police say he assaulted an officer and bit the ear of a canine dog while naked and high on methamphetamine
yeah,
last
meth,
week.
Is meth been... Okay.
You're over
Tampa.
It's all right. Everything.
Okay. Donald Watts
every box.
Was arrested for multiple charges, including a
what
simple battery. Donald Watts was arrested for multiple charges, including simple battery, two counts of resisting an officer, and one count of aggravated battery on a service dog.
Oh, don't do that.
Police reported hearing, quote, strange noises when searching the yard and eventually located Watts naked and covered in dirt. Watts' behavior was described as manic by the two responding officers.
Time out.
Yep.
To those that are in jail listening and to those that protect our communities and law enforcement, what is it about meth that results in nakedness? Because I don't think that, like, you get all high on booger sugar and take all your clothes off. I'm just speaking from reading articles.
Are you having a meal while you're answering?
I'm just having,
asking
I'm
this
having
question?
A snack. I'm low. My blood sugar's low.
I mentioned snacks with the Fields Auto Group, and he
right.
got hungry.
So
you're like Wilbon over here during a 5 o'clock.
I'm asking, I'm asking, is there something about meth that leads those who use it to take all their clothes off?
All right, all our meth addicts out there, 312-332-3776.
Or you may be a recovering meth addict.
Okay.
Watt's behavior was described as manic by two responding officers who he said paced back and forth laughing while making bird noises.
It's everything.
Two responding police officers along with five backup officers and a canine handler with his dog found Watts in the woods. He was on his hands and knees and began to growl like a dog.
This is Tampa, yes.
Casper was given the command to apprehend. Oh, Casper's the name of the dog, by the way. Casper was given the command to apprehend Watts, but the deranged man leaped and grabbed Casper by the head and bit the dog's ear and drove Casper to the ground. Eventually, the dog broke free and bit Watts' head.
Good.
He was then tased and taken to a hospital before taken to jail.
This is like an episode of Cops right here.
No doubt.
It's got everything. It's Tampa, Florida. Where
we go to Pinellas County.
Right.
And what we have
bad
is...
Bad boys.
We have five,
what you want to do?
We have five officers on the call right now. What's his name? This guy's name is Don what?
Watts.
Don Watts. And
we need a canine unit, about five deputies here. Bring out the canine unit and the taser.
What is, what's your 10-4?
He just bit the dog. We're going to need to get that taser out there. Could you please taser, man? He's on the ground.
What
and
the
he's on
hell
all fours
is he
barking
doing?
Like a dog.
You said barking, right?
Barking like a dog.
He's got dirt all over him. It's,
no,
it's
he's making bird noises. He's making bird noises.
That's, you do a good the CB.
The best part of it is your...
Is your sound off?
The sound of you letting go of the CB button.
I used to love the CB.
Oh, I know. We heard your CB stories. Yeah. That was your whole... That was the highlight of your trip south for vacation,
right,
wasn't
we
it?
We would go to Cincinnati. We would go to St. Louis.
Yeah.
And I would get to talk to truckers.
What was your CB handle?
What was your CB handle?
You know what?
Yeah, we had a big laugh about
it.
Right,
I know. And truthfully, it sounds a bit creepy if
because
you take a step back.
Those were the days when Bigfoot was a big thing. And so all the big truckers would call themselves Bigfoot.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, this is Bigfoot. What's your 1020?
What you didn't know is that, like, when you reached your destination and then you were off doing something else, there were a bunch of truckers out there looking for Littlefoot.
This Where's is Littlefoot Foot looking out there for Littlefoot? Is Littlefoot available?
He's at the rest area. Where's Littlefoot?
And it's, Littlefoot's a minor. You got to stay away from Littlefoot.
And it's Lil.
I used to talk on that
shoot
thing.
Littlefoot. Please.
Oh, my gosh.
A naked man high on meth bit a canine dog and assaulted an officer in High Springs, Florida.
Of course it was.
Just 70 miles west of Jacksonville.
All right, anything you want to weigh in on, let's do a free-for-all Friday, 332-3776, whether it's about the Bears quarterback situation. Someone wants to ask us, should the Bears trade Khalil Mack? So, Michael, hang in. I've been meaning to take your phone call. And we've got to go around the room. Jeff Passan was asked, if you had to make a call today, is Chris Bryant going to be on the Cubs? It may surprise you what he said, and then we will take a stab at that question as well. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.